Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And as I was seeking the Lord, I would like to share on a subject that I believe is important for this hour in which we're living, because we are in a warfare, beloved. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and Jesus has assured us through the Word of God that we are more than overcomers, more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. But beloved, it is possible to err in thinking that, especially if we walk with the Lord for any length of time, that we have arrived to a place of spiritual maturity and somehow have moved into a place where we are not really troubled by the devil anymore. Well, beloved, that's very dangerous thinking, because if we should ever feel that way, it's a fairly clear indication that we have been ensnared in the trap of the evil one. All we have to do is look back to the very time of Jesus, and His harshest criticism was reserved for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were people zealous for God. They prided themselves on their spirituality. They strictly adhered to the law of Moses. In fact, they even went beyond that and made all kinds of other regulations. And in their zeal and in their pride, they were not willing and were not open to really receive the gift of God that stood right in their midst. They did not understand Him, beloved. So we do not have to be fearful of the work of the enemy, but we have to understand we're dealing with a satanic intelligence that far surpasses that of man. The devil is no battle for you, a fitting opponent for you and I. In fact, even the mighty angels of God, Michael, Gabriel, their response is, "The Lord rebuke you." And so, beloved, we have to understand that in ourselves, we can do nothing in terms of getting any kind of victory over the devil, but only claiming the work that Jesus has accomplished in our behalf, claiming the blood of Jesus, claiming the full armor of God, the Word of God, which is our offensive weapon. Jesus used the Word of God in His temptations in the wilderness. And again, we would err to think that, well, Jesus had these severe temptations when He was in the desert fasting 40 days and 40 nights. But beloved, the Word says the devil left Him for a time. We would never be tempted to the extent that Jesus was tempted. He had all the forces of hell arrayed against Him, and He was tempted and tested. It wouldn't be true temptation if there was not the ability to yield to it. But there was no sin in Jesus, no sin nature. He told the devil, "You have no part in Me. Get thee behind Me." And so, because He was very God and very man, He was able, as our perfect substitute, to be our example, to be our substitute, to show us there is victory through what Jesus has accomplished, following in His steps. And so, beloved, Satan works in every way possible today to make you and I doubt the Word of God. There are multitudes of Christians who languish in the storms of doubt every day of their lives, and it's a sad sight to see a Christian who lives below the standard of victory that Jesus Christ has provided for them. Since we are members of Christ's body in this earth, and as one translation puts it, we should be victorious over all the works of darkness. We're told in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. He fully succeeded. But beloved, we must never think that we are so mature and so walking in great spiritual prosperity that we are not susceptible to the stratagems of the enemy. Beloveds, there are so many of God's people that are so full of doubt, they live actually a life of slavery instead of walking in the glorious liberty that God has designed for his children, for the sons and daughters of God. And by that I mean, instead of growing up into the full stature of Jesus Christ, which is our destiny, which is what God wants us to do, he's not satisfied with us to maintain a status quo. We should be in a state of continual growth and maturing. But so many have been so buffeted by the devil that they have days every week in which sometimes they're not even sure they're Christians. And I don't know, you might think that's funny, but I mean, I can remember times in my life that I wondered, was I really saved? And beloved, if you've never been in that place, then just be assured that the devil will do whatever he can to test you. I mean, if we can see the great prophet Elijah after his tremendous victory and the miracles that God wrought in his hand to be hiding in a cave, so God had to say to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Beloved, we have to recognize the foe we stand against is evil, consummate evil, but Jesus has given us victory. We don't have to be afraid of them. And so, beloved, so many Christians are embattled with doubts. And let me just say this. Christians, they believe the truths of the Bible. They believe God really did send his only begotten Son, Jesus, into this earth to save from sin. But listen to me. Guess what I'm trying to say is the doubts the enemy brings is in their own personal relationship with God. That's where the doubts come in. And I know this from many years of correspondence ministry. There was a brother that would write it, and I know he loved God. He used to come into our services, and he said, pray that I'll be saved. And I remember writing back and giving that scripture in Romans, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. But beloved, this may not be your experience, but there are many that are tormented with the fact that they're not really sure their sins have been forgiven. They have doubts whether they can ever be really used of God. Some are full of doubts as to their hope of heaven, and they're not sure that they have or will attain the lofty standards of God in their lives. And when I said lofty, it's because God has never wanted man to be brought low. That's the enemy's plan, but he always comes to lift us up. God cannot be brought down to the level of man, but he lifts us up to a higher plane, to his plane. And this loftiness is not overbearing, it's not supercilious, proud, haughty, or disdainful, but the Word of God talks about a high calling. And this high calling, beloved, will lift us out of the mire of sin and defeat and bring us into the high places of God. Let me share some beautiful passages which David wrote in Psalm 18. In verse 31, he says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Praise God. But beloved, I know that there are many, many of you even listening who doubt your experience with God. And to be in that place, you're really quite wretched and miserable. Satan will bring doubts into the minds of God's people and cause their usefulness to be hindered effectively. One day they're up, the next day they're down, and their communion with God is continually broken by their doubts. Now, when someone gets saved, the first thing Satan tries to do is to turn that new believer away from continuing to serve God. And when he's done all that is possible to accomplish that and it fails, then when he can't succeed in causing that new believer to turn his back on God, then Satan will throw doubts and cause their feet to stumble on their walk in with the Lord. And beloved, the body of Christ in this earth has been called out as believers of a living God, and yet many, to be, if they're really honest, have to confess that they have doubts. There are many Christians who have accepted living in doubt. They've either been taught to believe that they have to continue this way or just hope that the Word of God is true in every instance, or that they have, through days, weeks, months, and years of doubting, feel that this is just part of the Christian's lot in life. But beloved, that's not true. Some think that this is just part of this life. Many consider doubts as something you have to kind of put up with, like you would a headache or a toothache or arthritis. Many, many of God's people who desire with all of their hearts to enter into that glorious fellowship in the Spirit with God and walk a walk of faith are singled out by special efforts of the enemy to rob them of their victory and joy in Christ. And when he does that, he robs them of their spiritual effectiveness in resisting the devil and being a true overcomer. Many have been able to finally settle the fact that their sins are forgiven and that they have the promise of heaven, but they still have not got rid of doubts. Beloved, I'm just really getting into this subject. My time is getting away from me, and so we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. And let me just say, it's possible with your mind to affirm and believe everything that God says in His Word is true. But and so our mind, our spirit affirms the truth of that. But on the level of our soul and our emotions, our feelings, we sometimes can doubt the help of God, the love of God. And that's what God wants us to get victory over. Beloved, this is a very real enemy, that spirit of doubt the enemy would bring. I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on in this subject. But for now, if you're struggling and need the support of agreeing prayer, the announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,